Fancy a game?
Technically correct.
Forget all that formal crap about coming at me one at a time. I'll take all you bitches on!
With Tyler Bischoff.
His math's way off.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
The next two words out of your mouth aren't see ya, then the third word will be, oh my God, my crotch, you've punched me in the crotch.
Hello, Forever 21.
You're just not even trying.
July 11th. I'm not trying. It's July 11th. They don't have an apparel deal.
Does Forever 21 make shoes?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Probably got glitter on them.
They're going to get into the market. All
right. It'd be great. So we have a kind of an awkward show today. Cassie Soto is going to join us at 10:15.
Tyler has to be a journalist today.
Yeah, we're going
to
do the briefs today in this segment. There's an MVP candidate retiring, and the Raiders have an anti-vaxxer. So the briefs are all over the place.
Oh, good Lord.
But before we get to the briefs, we have some important audio to play. We had Tim Buckley on the show, a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the great gem from him that he will threaten to take away your Thanksgiving if you're not playing very hard in a basketball game. So that was terrific. But we did not get this out of Tim Buckley. And this might be a question we need to start asking everyone we have on the show, but he did one of those five things you don't know about me video that all the new coaches have done, and here is one of his answers.
Number two, something you might not know about me, I'm deathly afraid of squirrels. When I was younger, I felt like I was being attacked by a bunch of them.
Squirrels. What?
Exactly. So my question is, when he says, when I was younger, I felt like I was being attacked by a bunch of them, was this a one-time thing where, like, there were, like, four squirrels and they were kind of, like, coming closer to him? Or does every
what
time...
What does felt like mean?
Does every time Tim Buckley see a squirrel, he thinks he's going to get attacked by them?
they feel aggressive.
Like,
they're aggressive animals.
In my experience, if you get close to a squirrel, they run away from you. It's the complete opposite of being attacked. Maybe if you have food, they come closer to you.
Not to, I know we have certain rules about actually talking about our personal lives, but my mother's father, my grandfather.
Okay, yes, that's how most people say that.
Oh, he died when I was really little.
Does that make him not the grandfather?
Okay, anyway, he literally would raise squirrels. Like, he just, he was a...
And train them to attack Tim Buckley.
No, he was a welder by trade and a mechanic, and he would just go outside into his backyard and just... throw food to squirrels until they would be trained well enough that they would just be like, oh, okay, hey, buddy. Like, these are incredibly dumb animals that you can train.
How
are you afraid of them?
Yeah, I don't, again, the follow-up question is, like, was there one incident where something actually happened? Or was it just every time he saw a squirrel, they thought they were aggressive? I will say this. If Tim Buckley and I see an inflatable mascot squirrel, we are both running terrified for our lives, leaving this city forever.
Oh my God. I know what. All right. I know what I'm doing for the next time. The next time I have a UNLV basketball game off, I am showing up in a full mascot squirrel uniform.
Tim Buckley will not be coaching that game.
Just all of a sudden, he looks over to the press area and just is like, takes off running.
All right. So we're going to have to start asking everybody what their fear is when we have them on. All right. Bischoff's briefs.
Bischoff's briefs.
Underpants.
No, I don't want to go to a party in your pants.
Bischoff's briefs.
Underpants.
Bischoff's briefs.
Very well.
Liz Cambage plans to step away from basketball after the 2020 season.
A New York Times story featuring Liz Cambage, and basically about how she doesn't center her life around basketball. But this was the line from the story. Cambage has walked away from the game before and plans to do so again, this time after the 2020 WNBA season. Liz Cambage, quote, was, right now, I'm just paving the way to the Tokyo Olympics, which are in 2020, by the way, and I'm giving this career everything I can for the next 2 years, and then I will be stepping away and reevaluating everything. The Aces traded a first-round pick, a second-round pick, Mariah Jefferson, and Isabel Harrison for Liz Cambage, and they might only get 1 year or 2 years of her. I mean, they could honestly only get 1.5 because she's like Tokyo Olympics. That's in the middle of the season. She could play that and then say, all right, I'm done. But even if that happens, still a great trade.
Yeah, and if they win a championship, super worth it.
Yeah, I mean, like, what they gave up, first-round pick, second-round pick.
If they go to a championship, she gets to hang out with Steve Sisolak.
First-round pick, second-round pick, Mariah Jefferson, Isabel Harrison. None of that is as valuable as 1 or 2 years of Liz Cambage. Like, none of that is even close to that value there. The strange thing is, and again, the whole story is about her not focusing her life on just basketball, like a lot of professional, like we assume a lot of professional athletes do. She's only going to be 29. She's one of the best players in the WNBA, so it is kind of strange. It kind of sucks if you're a fan of the Aces or just the WNBA that one of the best players in the game is like, yeah, in 2 years, I'm just not going to play anymore. And she's 29, not 39. Like, it'd be one thing if she was pushing 40 and was like, okay, I'm going to walk away. But, like, when you're 29, you're like, no, we should have 5 more years of watching you be one of the best players in the league. But,
I mean, I would really like Shaq to talk to her because he's a DJ. She's a DJ. He was a center. She's a center. Like, just to, like, help her out on her career path.
So she's going to be hosting TNT inside the WNBA in 5 years.
Oh my God, that'd be great. Australian? I can bleep out every other word.
LaDainian Tomlinson says Josh Jacobs will win Rookie of the Year.
Did I mistype his last name?
Did I say Jacobson?
No, you said Tomlinson.
What?
Tomlinson?
Tomlinson. Oh, wow. Yeah. No, you didn't mistype it. I misread it real bad.
So he was on the NFL Network. He works for the NFL Network. He said, for me, I'm going to say Josh Jacobs will win Offensive Rookie of the Year because he's going to have the opportunities to do so. There's nobody in that backfield, and he can do it all. Very disrespectful to Chris Warren. First off, LT. Second off, though, Vic DeFor wrote about workload for Josh Jacobs and sort of what he expected. And he did a comparison to Cadillac Williams at Tampa Bay because that's a running back that John Gruden took in the first round. He took Cadillac Williams at the top 10, not 24, but that was his comparison. And Cadillac Williams in his first year when he was good for that
The 1 year.
he got hurt, though, right? Like, it was injury related.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was, you have the small, shifty Miami running back, and you went, let's give him the ball 300 times.
Right. So he got 310 touches his rookie year. It was only 20 catches. So the majority of that was carries. That came out to 19 touches per game. 15 carries, 4 catches per game for Josh Jacobs? That doesn't sound ridiculous, right?
No, it doesn't, especially if you're down.
Yeah, so last year, the Raiders, when they were down the majority of the time, they averaged 24 carries per game as a team, and their running backs averaged 6 catches per game as a team. So for him to get to 15-4, it would be 63% of the carries and 67% of the catches. Like, he's definitely going to get 300 touches this year. As long as he's healthy, he's definitely going to get 300 touches this year.
Absolutely. I would just like to point out that Cadillac Williams has an entire tab on his Wikipedia page called Injuries.
Okay. Very injury related.
Yep.
Raiders running back Jalen Richard is an anti-vaxxer.
Cut him.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs is about to get 90% of the carries and
cut him
now. So Jalen Richard yesterday and today a little bit as well. Has been on a Twitter spree about vaccines. He started with the new vaccination laws in California, will there be some doctors y'all think will still see non-vaccinated kids? Somebody responded to him, just vaccinate your kids. And he said no. And then he said, none of my kids will be vaccinated. Everyone that's mad about me not vaccinating my kids probably be in line for the flu shots. What about countries that don't vaccinate? Researched along with peer-reviewed articles and added my religious beliefs, decided no vaccinations.
What
end of story.
Hold on. Time
sorry,
out.
Not sorry.
What peer-reviewed articles?
Yes, he doesn't provide any.
There's not a single peer-reviewed article that supports this claim. Cut him.
Yeah, like I mean, it's worse than Kyrie Irving flat earth, because if Jalen Richard doesn't vaccinate his kids, it actually affects other people.
Yeah.
Like Kyrie Irving thinking the earth is flat just affects him being an idiot. I mean, I guess there actually was a teacher with Kyrie Irving that said, like, I have kids telling me the earth is flat because they heard Kyrie Irving say it. So I guess that does affect them, but not your actual health, just your actual intelligence. So the thing that I want out of this, though, is John Gruden getting asked about it.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh my God. Would it be which would be funnier? John Gruden coming out as a full throated, like, no, the science is in, and there's absolutely no reason to think vaccinate. Like, he just comes out as, like, the full on, the scientific community, man. They're in consensus. Or would it be better if he also came out as an insane person who's an idiot?
I think if he came out and was like, citing peer-reviewed articles that was like, no, Jalen Richard's an idiot. Like, if he came out saying Jalen Richard's wrong, and here's all, like, if he had all of the evidence to support it, too, I think that's the best-case scenario.
Here's the 288 articles that have proven there is no link between vaccination.
Well, the other thing with Jalen Richard, he didn't mention autism. Like, the big thing with anti-vaxxers, like, it causes autism. He didn't even mention that. Like, at no point, he was just like, no, I'm not doing it. And gave no reason as to why he wasn't doing it.
All right, so I know certain religions don't do blood transfusions. Like, you can't have someone else's blood in your body. That's sort of, like, it's considered... But I don't know of any... He said it's religious reasons. I don't know of any religion that's like...
Anti-vax, yeah.
Like, mysticism, maybe? Like, is he a shaman?
I have no idea. I don't know
what
it is.
He's a druid?
I do, based on his Twitter account, his pinned tweet is a gender reveal party where he pops a balloon and it's pink. So.
That poor girl.
Yeah.
That segment will be the one that gets us suspended. The Golden Knights. Oh, sorry. The Las Vegas Aces are in first place in the WNBA.
Thanks to a win over the Indiana Fever yesterday, their 9 a.m. game, they came back to win.
Okay, they were losing the last time we checked in with them.
Going in the fourth quarter. They beat the Fever, the Connecticut Sun lost, and the Washington Mystics lost yesterday. So that means the Aces were alone in first place at 10-5. There is an asterisk there.
I was going to say, are they 0.5 games up over the Mystics?
They should have somehow half of a loss in the column for that half a game with the Mystics that's been postponed. But first place... Again, it's July. I don't think we're even halfway through the season. Getting there. 15 games out of, what do they play, 34, 37? It's WNBA title or bust for this team. That is the
it's
only
a
option.
Super team.
Like, we had Rachel Galligan on. She said title or bust. Ken from Sinbin, title or bust. T.C. Martin, Kevin E. Martin, or T.C. Wow, that's strange. They have the same last name.
Yeah, dude, they're also both really tall. You didn't know they
were
related? Get
the hell out of here, because they're the ones slow playing everything. Martins are banned from the studio. Doug Martin, you're on the list too.
Well, he'd fumble away his shot to be on the show.
Tightly Correct, brought to you by Boyd Gaming. The Vegas Rollers are bringing professional tennis to Las Vegas. Founded by Billie Jean King, World Team Tennis is a fun-filled evening of tennis, music, entertainment, and competition. Top world-ranked players compete against each other for the ultimate prize, the King Trophy. Matches are July 20th through August 3rd. To get tickets or to see a full schedule, visit OrleansArena.com.
Check out the podcast on LVSportsNetwork.com.
There are so many ways to be satisfied at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Enjoy cocktails and steaks the way nature intended at Alder and Birch. Visit the newly updated Prime Rib Loft. Experience the all-new Bailiwick Gastro Pub to share unique dining selections, try new craft draft beers, and enjoy great live music. Dine at Andori Asian Kitchen for authentic Chinese entrees, or choose from a large selection of sushi and Japanese cuisine. Check out the all-new Copper Whisk Cafe, open 24 hours with a menu that is sure to entice any palate. So savor the latest and greatest variety of flavors at the Orleans.
There's no I in team. Yeah, there's no you either. So I guess if I'm not on the team and you're not on the team, nobody's on the goddamn team. The team sucks.
It's Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff.
Cassie Soto from the Review Journal joins us now. She's at underscore Cassie Soto on Twitter. Cassie, do you have a fear of squirrels?
Not squirrels, but I'm really terrified of hamsters or any other like small gerbil like that.
Why?
I got bit by my sister's hamster when I was like 13, and it has scarred me forever.
Did it hurt?
Yeah, and like my initial reaction was to get it off of my hand, so I kind of flung it, and it hit the wall.
Then it died? Cassie killed a hamster?
No, but it hit the wall, and you know, kind of like in a movie when they like animate it to just go and like slide down the wall, that's exactly what happened.
Jesus. So you're not really afraid of hamsters, you're afraid of killing a hamster is what the fear is.
Why are you so violent?
I was scared. It bit me. It got a good chunk out of my finger.
Don't they have tiny mouths?
No. Well, they eat their kids. Do you know that?
Yeah. Actually,
all right,
I
sounds
did
like
know
legitimate
that.
Fear. Yeah, no. This is real. This is a real fear.
Yeah.
Here. So
yeah.
Before we get into anything else, you want to basically trash talk everyone about the earthquake.
There was no earthquake in Las Vegas. There wasn't. I don't believe it.
I was
didn't feel
at
it.
Mandalay
it didn't
Bay.
Happen.
It was shaking.
Were you on like the 36th floor?
No, it was at the Aces game. I don't know where that is. Is that underground or something?
Someone just sneezed loudly.
Is that
it
all
didn't
it was?
Happen.
Oh my God. Cassie Soto is an earthquake elitist over here. 8.0
she's
is
an
not real.
Yeah, she's an earthquake truther.
Yeah, right?
Introduce her to Jalen Richard.
why was that not real?
Well, so I'm from California, Central Coast, California, and I think it was the 2003, the San Simeon earthquake. It was felt in my hometown of Santa Maria, and it happened in December, so I think I was at like a winter camp or something. I don't know what I was at, but I was at school, and we are in the little portables, like the extensions of the school. And everybody's just sitting there, and all of a sudden the lights start flickering and everything kind of started shaking. And I thought it was somebody just jumping up and down because there was kids playing. And all of a sudden the teacher just kind of looks around and yells, "Earthquake!" And everybody gets under their desk. And I have never felt anything like that. That's why I say it was an earthquake. Anything like that. The roof started falling. It was kind of like those little foam panels, like in classrooms, you know? They started falling. Bookshelves were falling over. Like, that's an earthquake. When you see a wire moving back and forth or your water looks a little, you know, like it's moving, that's not an earthquake.
How protected did you feel under that desk?
Not at all protected. It was the little, like the personal desk with just the little four legs, you know, like it's, you can lift it up and put your notebooks in it. Just a little single desk is all I was under.
So
not protected.
So what you're saying is that the California school system has good plans for when the earthquakes eventually hit.
I mean, things might have changed, hopefully, since 2003, but I can't be certain.
You sound like the people from Louisiana who wouldn't leave their homes before Katrina because they're like, hurricanes, no big deal. Like, that's what you sound like right now.
Well, I think that had been the biggest earthquake felt since, I think, like the mid or early 90s. Don't quote me on that. But, like, I mean, as much as California gets earthquake, yeah, that was, like, the biggest one. And obviously these new ones have everybody freaking out. But in California, they have good reason to freak out because there's actual, like, cracks in the ground.
So Cassie Soto with us from the RJ. You covered the Summer League. I just based on your Twitter account, you look like you were working for TMZ, though.
Yeah, I felt like it after a while.
I mean, what, were you just stalking the entrance, trying to get videos of whoever was coming?
Well, it was so funny because media has their little scrum in the hallway right there of the Thomas and Mack. And so we always get down there with like 4 or 5 minutes left in the game just because obviously I'm very little. I'm the bagel man equivalent of the woman. the woman version, so I have to get in front really fast. So I went down there ahead of my camera guy, And I'm standing there, and all these athletes, that's where they hang out before they make their grand entrance, before the next game. So I was like, well, I'm here. I might as well take a picture or video of them, and I'm sure the content people at the RJ will be happy. And sure enough, they were.
So TMZ Cassie Soto. Was there anybody you missed, any celebrity or athlete you didn't get that you're like, oh, I screwed up?
Not really.
Oh, she nailed
it. I got Mayweather, and I was like, I don't know if I want to put this or not because I'm not a huge fan of him. But I did anyway.
You're a journalist, Cassie.
As a boxer or as a human being?
Can I say both?
That is the correct answer.
Great.
If I had a ding sound effect, she would have gotten it right there.
What about the baby crawl at halftime? You were mad at one of the babies, one of them disqualified.
Oh my gosh! Well, first and foremost, that halftime show took like 7 minutes. These babies—they're
babies, Cassie. They're not fast.
They were not listening. They were naughty little babies. No one was moving. They were just sitting there. And finally, I think it was contestant number 5 was like, I'm over this. She got up and started walking. But the whole premise of it is that it's a crawl. So automatic disqualification. Give it to I think it was baby number 3 that was the runner-up or crawler-up. And yeah, not happy with that.
But at least Adam Hill gave you good odds whenever he, you know, bet against the babies, right?
Actually, Adam wasn't there that day. I don't know where he was.
So wait, okay. You thought that it took too long, and then you're mad at the one baby that made it go by faster by standing up?
Disqualification.
But like, okay, here's the thing. I don't blame the baby. I blame whoever organized this competition for putting a baby in there that could actually stand up and walk.
I think they just put it too far. Like, it was...
When did they make him go like the length of the court?
No, it was half court. They should have put it a little bit closer for these little kids.
Free throw line. That's all the farther these babies should have to crawl.
Yeah, let's be honest.
But walking should be 100% acceptable. Like, if you put a baby in there that knows how to walk, that should be acceptable.
Yeah, I guess that's the fault of whoever picked the babies.
Yeah, 100%. One other older tweet from you.
Okay.
This is going back a little, not that far, just a little bit, to Golden Knights development camp. How was talking to Keenan Suthers, the 6'8" guy that was there?
I think the Sinbin account put a picture out of Ken standing next to him, and Ken looked really small. So you can only imagine how small I looked. And for the most part, I'm like a one-man band, so I have to hold the microphone and the camera. So if you see in the picture, I'm completely looking up at this poor guy with the camera resting on my shoulder, and I've got a full nose shot all up his nose.
Did you guys use that?
I didn't.
Oh, come on, Cassie.
It was bad.
No, that's great. That is excellent. It makes him look spectacular.
The poor guy
it?
Probably gets no media exposure because everyone has to get a nose shot of him. Because
people send Cassie out there who's too small to get a good shot. Stand on something.
Have him pick you up.
I don't take pictures with athletes, obviously, but I was standing, I walked past Taco Fall at the Summer League, and I wanted a picture with him so bad. I think Tracy, her last name is escaping me, she took a picture with him at the end of the basketball season and put a picture of them together, and I think that's how I would look, and I just would have felt so silly, just at his kneecaps.
I think that should be allowed. Most of the time, if you're unaware, media credentials to sporting events usually have something on the back that say, like, no photos or your credential can be taken away. I feel like it should be, if there is more than a 2-foot difference between you and the athlete, you should be allowed to take a photo just for the hilarity of it.
Yeah, I really wanted to. But I was like, nah, Cass, you're a professional. Don't do it.
We can call it the Cassie Soto rule.
Yeah, that would be good. 2 feet above. All good.
One other thing you tweeted out from around development camp. Why is Ryan Reeves in the women's bathroom?
So he does the Water Smart commercial. You've seen the commercials where he like knocks that guy out for watering on Sunday or whatever. So there's a picture of him, of his face, saying, I don't know what it says, be water smart, don't water. Face the consequences or something, and you're sitting on the toilet, and his eyeballs are looking directly at you. It's like one of those portraits where you move and the eyeballs are following you. That is Ryan Reeves in the women's bathroom.
Do you think they did it on purpose?
I hope not. Like, I don't know.
They had to have, right? Like, they know. Like, okay, we're going to put an ad on the door, on the inside of the door to the stall. They know what they're doing.
I'm just wondering if Ryan knows, because how uncomfortable, like, who okays that?
He's not going to be with the team much longer anyway. Just leave it.
I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be better when he's gone.
It makes me not want to water. It makes me not want to do a lot of things, having him look at me.
Who? Wait.
What's the next topic you
want to talk about? We're just gonna sit for a second and let that just stay. Just for a little bit there.
Shy, never mind.
Who takes over the Water Authority ads if they trade Ryan Reeves? Like, who's gonna scare us into not using water? That's his real value. That's why they can't trade him.
I guess Golden Knight, maybe?
No, it's Marchie. It's Marsha Show.
That's true. He is terrifying.
You make him even smaller looking in the commercial, and then just have him start wailing on guys who aren't prepared.
I don't know. Creepy poster in the bathroom.
Is Marsha Show your favorite athlete to get an interview with because you don't have to worry about looking up his nostrils?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
It'd be a nightmare for you to cover basketball every day, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, luckily, when they do the UNLV interviews, they have the guy sitting at a table. So that's good for me.
All right. You are headed to the MLS Liga MX press conference that's in a little bit at Bellagio. Yeah. What golden information are you trying to get from this press conference?
What makes it different than the Superliga? Because that was a failure.
Okay. Look at Cassie Soto. She is ready to bring the heat on MLS and Liga MX. I'm excited for
Liga
this now.
Liga MX.
Oh,
Tyler.
Oh, good
Come
Lord. Good Lord. No, we are in America, Cassie. It is Liga MX here. I will not be told how to pronounce the letter X.
All right.
It's all soccer to me.
Football.
I don't think Jared has any idea what's even happening.
No, I just know that you have to leave to do journalism, and Cassie has to be out in the next 2 minutes.
I just want to yell at Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer, about when's he putting a team in Las Vegas.
I will ask that also.
I'll be there. I'll yell at him for you.
Oh, okay, great.
How tall is Don Garber? Is this going to be a good video for Cassie?
I don't know, and I've got Heidi Fang helping me shoot, so we got the short team coming.
Well, she is Cassie Soto. Wait, Jared's got a question.
No.
Go ahead, ask the question.
No, I was just going to ask her about chicken. We're out of time.
Ask it.
Do it.
All right, why do you prefer Raising Cane's over... over Chick-fil-A.
Raising Cane's is extraordinarily superior to Chick-fil-A. You can't tell me otherwise. Okay, if their fries are okay or if their shakes are okay. It's the chicken that matters, and Chick-fil-A chicken is disgusting.
That's incorrect. The chicken at Chick-fil-A is better. The sauce
because
at
the,
Cane's is
because
better.
Because the bigotry is baked into the chicken at Chick-fil-A.
There you go.
Jared wanted to bring that up to make that joke, and it wasn't even that good.
I know.
Thanks, Cassie.
Thanks. We'll see you guys later.
That was it.
That was all you wanted.
Yep,
that was
all
you wanted. That was unbelievable.
Yep.
Get in touch with the show on Twitter at @Bischoff_Tyler. Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants.
No, I don't want to go to a party in your pants.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Very well.
Briefs are back. The Golden Knights do not have one of the 10 best contracts in the NHL.
Dom Lecision of The Athletic ranked the 10 best contracts in the NHL, plus 5 honorable mentions. None of those are Vegas either. But he basically used like a goal scored above average stat to compare players. So what is your expected productivity through the life of your contract? And based on your pay, what should it be? Like, oh, you're the highest paid player in the league. You should be number one in this. Oh, you're only number 7. Then you're terrible or something like that. So on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, how is Subban? Then
doesn't play enough. So having a longer term deal can help or hurt if you are really good on a long deal that doesn't pay you very much, it counts all 7 years. If you're only on a 1 year deal, it only counts the 1 year. So not really surprising Vegas doesn't have one simply because they haven't really had big goal totals with the exception of William Karlsson scoring 43. Like last year, nobody on this team broke 30 goals. Like everyone on this team is like, yeah, we're all going to score 24. It's going to be great. So they do have Mark Stone now for star power, but even Mark Stone is not a huge goal-scoring type of guy. He's going to create for other people, and he'll put up in the 20s. He might break 32, but he's getting paid over $9 million, where David Pastrnak is first on this list. $6.7 million is how much he's getting paid. So you're paying Stone sort of the expectation. The guys on this list are producing like, say, a Mark Stone, but getting paid $2 or $3 million left. With Marchessault, Carlson, Smith, like all three of those guys, they're under $6 million. Like, they're good contracts. But again, none of them are producing at really that high end. Like, Carlson gave you 43 2 years ago, but he's probably going to be giving you 24 for the rest of his career. So they're good contracts, but not really the best in the NHL. And I think the question kind of comes, can you win a Stanley Cup if you don't have, like, a superstar-type player on a really friendly contract? Because the Golden Knights have a superstar player in Mark Stone. It's not a terrible contract, but he's not on a friendly contract. The guys they have on friendly contracts are good players, but not great players. And when you're in a salary cap sport, we're seeing it with the Golden Knights, you have to lose good players. Colin Miller, Eric Halla, maybe Nikita Gusev, because there's a salary cap. So if you could have Mark Stone's production but only pay him $6 million instead of $9 million, well, you get to keep Nikita Gusev or Eric Halla instead. So can you win a Stanley Cup if you don't have one of the high-end players on a kind of friendly deal?
Are you actually asking, or do you want to move on now?
I mean, if you had something to contribute, sure. But
no, most of my stuff is that our backup goalie is paid like the 70th goalie in the league, and if he plays 20 games this season, he's the most undervalued player in probably hockey.
That's going to be Brandon Peary when he scores 31.
Oh, good Lord! Do you actually want the headline sound, or do you just want me to read the next brief?
You can. I don't care.
Oh, good. I'm glad we're doing this. No, I'm not. I am a board op. Like my father before me.
The Golden Knights will give away William Carlson, Jonathan Marchessault, Mark Stone, and Nate Schmidt bobbleheads in the preseason.
Boo! Yeah, four.
I thought there was five.
No, only four.
Okay, for some reason... I thought you did. You do a tweet that said top five?
I did a top five bobblehead.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, some reason that made it like set in my head that it was supposed to be five.
My ideas are way better, too. Like Pete DeBoer in a clown wig, way better than anything that they're going to do with Mark Stone.
Ryan Reeves is the Muffin Man.
Yeah, way better. Vadim Shipachyov in a smoky water park.
Just holding his child, scared. Yep.
That'd
perfect.
Be incredible.
Brandon Peary holding a Brandon Peary bobblehead.
But for the home preseason games, that's when they're giving these away. And I will say, the cool thing the Golden Knights do when they do giveaways, everyone gets one. Like, it's not like the first 5,000 people in the arena. It's everyone. Like, if you walk in, you get it. And to me, that's great. Oh, I was going to complain. So remember when they first put out this announcement that they were going to do bobbleheads for all the home preseason games? They were like, it's going to reveal a secret message.
Uh-huh.
The secret message is Vegas born.
Whoa!
Like, could they be any more boring? God! Let's get it together.
Gusev is a communist.
They did not put Ryan Reeves in this.
Yeah. They didn't put Derek England either.
Do you think Ryan Reeves is getting traded?
At this point, I don't want to trade him, but I would... Wait, why not? Because it's kind of nice to have that old... Like, it's Udonis Haslam. It's like one of those things where it's like, why are we paying this dude for this amount for this reason? I don't know, but everyone seems to love him.
That seems like a terrible
idea. Oh, no, it's the worst. It's the worst business plan in the history of anything. But it's keep him, keep England, trade McNabb.
Terrible idea. Join Las Vegas Sports Network this Saturday, 6 p.m. We're going to be at GameWorks inside Town Square. What?
No, are we going to break?
No.
Oh.
Town Square, GameWorks, 6 o'clock Saturday. I'll be out there. Jared will be out there. Ryan McKinnell will be out there. Who else is going to be out there?
Multiple members of Comp's morning show. Right now it's Greg and we don't know who else. And everyone from Comp's been invited. A bunch of people from The Point have been invited. I have texted all of my celebrity friends, and so both of them have given me a hard maybe.
Is Adam Hill considered a celebrity friend?
No, Adam Hill's in like Cancun. He's
Adam Hill's on vacation?
He turned 40.
Like a week ago.
Yeah, well, once you get older, man, things slow down for you. You can't just be taking vacations when you actually turn 40. You got to wait a week to calm down. Make sure you're in a physical and mental place where you can go on vacation.
All right, we're going to be in the Esports Lounge at GameWorks starting at 6 o'clock.
We're going to have prizes. We're going to have tickets.
Do we know what kind of prizes?
No. Oh. Mark Moore has not sent me that email.
So you can come play video games. I'm not very good. You can beat me anything. Can I play air hockey?
Yeah,
I sure. I know that's not esports, but like I feel like if I'm going to play something that I can win, it's going to be air hockey.
I know, but what I really want is I'm hoping, I don't know when Ryan Wallace gets back, but I'm hoping he's back by Saturday to come out there so that people can just like trounce him at NHL 19.
That would be fun. I would
like
be okay
just beat
with that.
The living crap out of yeah. people. It's like, I'm a hockey expert. Okay, well, this 12-year-old just whooped your ass.
So 6 o'clock on Saturday, come see us at GameWorks. You can beat us in video games. Play games for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Ryan McKinnell is apparently very good at video games.
I know, and he's already like throwing money. Yeah. Like he's like, oh no, I'll bring money.
So
we'll make side bets.
All right.
Illegal gambling.
I compiled all of the anti-Marvin Menzies quotes from Las Vegas high school scene. I felt weird phrasing it, the Las Vegas high school scene. Very strange phrasing there. But we've had a lot.
I was the scene was like those kids who wore skinny jeans yeah, and like big those sweaters that had cats on them.
Yeah. So we've had a lot. Donovan Yap, Nick Blake, Coronado's head coach, Jeff Kauffman, have basically come out with some sort of comments that have been like, hey, Marvin Menzies didn't recruit here. And now that he's gone, they don't have really a problem saying it. So here are the best quotes we have. Shout out to Mike Romala for securing these. That is a content producer, Mike Romala. So Donovan Yap.
He's your true producer.
He is. Donovan Yap, the Arborview player that UNLV has offered. We talked about this yesterday, but his quote, the last staff were kind of recruiting me, but I don't feel like they were recruiting me hard. But as soon as Coach TJ and Coach Slocum and the new coaching staff came, that's when I got the offer right away. They were really looking forward to building a relationship with me, my mom, my dad, my family, trying to get me on a visit. It definitely picked up after they took over at UNLV. What's actually funny about this, he got offered by Grand Canyon, too, which is where Marvin Menzies is now an assistant.
Well, okay, I still am confused at getting offered by Grand Canyon.
Why?
Because it's a for-profit school. It's like being offered by the University of Phoenix.
Yeah, they have a basketball team.
But does that mean they waive the for-profit? Because that doesn't seem cost-effective.
What are you talking about? Everyone pays to go to school. Grand Canyon just makes money off of it up front. Other schools are like, oh, we're nonprofit.
All right, fine.
Like everyone's still paying to go to Grand Canyon, just like they're paying to go to UNLV.
Fine,
Grand
whatever.
Grand Canyon just makes money. You're making this into something it's not.
All right.
Like, yes, they make money. They probably shouldn't be allowed to play in the NCAA, but I hope they do. But it has nothing to do with the players.
Well, I just don't understand, like,
the school is for profit, not the players.
Well, I kind of hope the players are for profit.
That would be the one school where should be okay for the players to be profit. Like, but they're not. They should be the first. Nick Blake, who committed to UNLV, his quote, the last coaching staff, I wouldn't say they didn't recruit Las Vegas kids, but I just didn't feel like they recruited them hard enough. Going back to the 2016 class, to 2018, there were a lot of good players, and more should have stayed home. And I feel they would have if other coaching staffs had made an effort. I feel like this coaching staff isn't going to let that be an excuse, and they've really gone out there and gotten to know so many kids in the Valley. And I believe that's going to be a key to getting UNLV back to where it was. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's the key to getting UNLV back to where it was. Get good players is the key to getting UNLV back to where it was. But I do find it interesting that you have two kids saying, hey, Menzies didn't recruit Las Vegas hard enough. Like, yeah, they were there, like, but they didn't recruit it hard enough. Like, they weren't giving enough of an effort.
It does constantly kind of feel like there are a bleep ton of three stars just sort of hanging out in the Valley.
Nick Blair.
And it feels kind of strange that it was like, which one? Like, we get one. And it's like, well, no, you kind of need to fill your bench with the three stars so that you can use the four and the fives to be the starters.
The most damning, though, is Jeff Kauffman, who's the head coach at Coronado. He had a lot to say. It's a whole different world. I have nothing bad to say about the last group. Menzies was Menzies. But TJ has been here as many times as he could be here in his first months. Kruger has been here I don't even know how many times. I talked to Kruger twice today. They call, they text. TJ called me the other night. It was 11 p.m. and he was just checking in. As a high school coach who's been in Las Vegas his whole life, it really makes you want to help them and really want to get kids to UNLV because you understand the kids are going to be successful. Kauffman continued, unfortunately, the last staff wasn't focused on getting the local kids, so you don't just lose the local kids that are eligible to play in college, you lose the kids that are coming through the pipeline behind him. I do like that he says he didn't have anything bad to say about the last staff when he clearly does. He's clearly got something bad to say about Marvin Menzies. He just didn't quite leave it out entirely.
I don't know. Yeah. It's so weird that it's like...
I do feel like it's all unfair to Marvin Menzies. Because, I don't believe you have to recruit Las Vegas for UNLV to be good. Like, I think this is a big misnomer.
That is absolutely fair.
I also think Marvin Menzies was here for 3 years. And one of those years was his first recruiting class where it was like,
Georgie!
Exactly. So he basically had two recruiting cycles. And, well, I guess you could throw the third one on there for what would have been the recruiting cycle because he wasn't recruiting. He had two commits, neither one of them for Las Vegas for this next year had he stayed. But you basically had his first real recruiting cycle. He landed Brandon McCoy, Shakur Justin, and Amori Hardy. You're not saying no to any of those kids regardless of where they're from. Like, you're just not going to. And then... his second recruiting cycle, second real recruiting cycle. Okay, maybe you can criticize that one a little bit, but he did get Trey Woodbury. Like, he did get one local kid in there. And then the next one, okay, there were two kids and none of them were local. I do think it's unfair to Marvin Menzies, but I do find it interesting how much every time somebody talks about recruiting, they're like, oh wow, TJ's out here all the time.
I think it's interesting that anytime anyone goes, oh, wow, TJ's out here all the time. Like, you could be at an IHOP and people will go, oh, wow, TJ's at this IHOP all the time.
The caravan's because, at IHOP?
Well, but it's just one of those things where it seems like he's making an actual effort to just be like, hey, wait, is that the UNLV coach? That's more than I think Marvin wanted to do.
All right, I'm out of here. Jared's in control the rest of the show. I got to go yell at Don Garber about why Las Vegas doesn't have a Major League Soccer team yet.
Yeah, we're probably going to take a very long break, and then I may come back with some promotional information.
You're listening to Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff, brought to you by Boyd Gaming.
Hey, it's Tyler Bischoff. Want the easiest way to bet on sports in Las Vegas? Download the Be Connected Sports app for free from the Apple or Google Play stores. Then head to your favorite Boyd location like the Orleans, Gold Coast, or Sun Coast to create an account, and with just a $100 deposit, you'll get a free $50 to wager. Then you'll be able to bet before or during the games you love to watch. Plus, if you use Pay Near Me, depositing money into your account can be done at 7-Elevens, Family Dollar Stores, or CVS Pharmacies. It's the Be Connected Sports app from Boyd Gaming.
Your time is important to you, so it is important to us, too. As a business owner, you want to spend your time focused on growing your business, not on dealing with red tape. You can safely leave that to us. At Pro Group Management, we focus on ensuring that you have the best workers' comp plan for your business. Our team of experts keeps up on all the regulatory issues and compliance updates so you can spend your time growing your business. For self-insured groups, Pro Group Management is the leader in providing Nevada's businesses with reliable, quality workers' comp programs. And we have the awards to prove it. Find out how to have Pro Group Management work for you. Visit our website at pgmnv.com to receive a free cost savings analysis now. That's pgmnv.com or call our Las Vegas office at 702-740-4380. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.